Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Hey guys, welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast live from the Toyota Lounge. I am your host, Susie Hunter. I am joined by Alyssa producing today. Your late night girlies here talking some Rockies baseball. This is way later than we should ever be doing a Sunday show. But the weather here in Colorado just had a totally different plan. So Alyssa, thank you for being here so late. I appreciate it. Unfortunately, Rockies have some problems. We got some problems. It was a wild, wild day. Rockies split the doubleheader, lost the series, though. The Rockies have yet to win a series this season. We saw two new injuries, one for a pitcher, one for a guy who's, I think, doing pretty well right now. I'm a little worried about Brenton Doyle. We're going to get to that in a second. But this is the big topic that I really want to talk about today, that game one call, the fan interference situation with Jacob Stallings. Did he hit a home run? Did he hit a double? Was it nothing? How do we find the fan who did this to us? It all worked out in the end, but man, that could have been a really fun walk-off. Could have been. Probably would have been a slightly better day if we didn't see two really bizarre injuries. The one we saw, Brenton Doyle scratched from game two super late with chest bruising. Sounds awful. And then the other, of course, Noah Davis came out three pitches into an inning, mid-batter, because Elias Diaz noticed something. And now Noah Davis is injured. So we're actually going to hear from Buddy. We spoke to him just moments ago on how these guys are doing. So Alyssa, are we ready to play that? All right, here is Bud Black on today's most recent injuries.
You know, Davis is being evaluated as we speak. A little bit of some shoulder soreness in between his, after his third inning, he went out and just sort of felt some tightness in the shoulder. So we took him out of the game. Doyle, you know, finished the first game, and then as the afternoon moved in towards the second game, his chest area started to tighten up a little bit, from the fastball right there, got hit in the chest to the point where, he tried to take some swings and it was just, he was compromised. So we decided to, pull him out of the lineup, but, going in, he was in there, but as the afternoon unfolded, it just got worse. So we decided to take him out.
Yeah, definitely hoping both of those guys are okay. But I will say, in that first game, when Doyle got hit by that pitch, he seemed so angry, so angry. And then he took it out on a triple. That was fun. All right, wishing these guys the best. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty of each of those games in just a second, but some other things to take away from the series. Rockies are 5-17 right now. Yikes. Rockies bats, where are you? Are you there, Rockies bats? It's me, Susie. We would love to see you. We need you. We need you very desperately. Also, fans desperately asking y'all to not lean into a play that is in action and taking balls from players. Crazy. Someone almost cost us the game. Reveal yourself. And yeah, we're going to get into all this in just a second, but I got to talk to all of our friends in the Toyota chat. First of all, we have Skylar in the chat, who is a new Rockies fan, by the way. Welcome to the fam. Skylar in the chat. I'm not angry about us losing another series, but what I am angry about is the fan interference call. In my opinion, Stallings should have got a double and Tovar should have walked us off. So, yeah, welcome to the fan, by the way. Yeah, I Listen, I was shocked. I mean, I was like, okay, that was a weird double that looked like it should have been a home run. We'll take the double. And then there was a crew chief review audit, and they said they were reviewing the not home run call. So we're like, ooh, are we going to get a home run? And then all of a sudden it was an out. It was a tragic series of events. It was so weird. It was a roller coaster. If the Rockies did not win that game, that would have been my villain origin story. It really would have been. You would have seen a very different Suze, a very dark Suze, a very cryptic Suze. I would have gone full goth. Nighthawk in the chat. Nighthawk saying, I worked the doubleheader and just got home. Man, were there a ton of Mariners fans. The first game was hopping, and then everybody went home, probably for the best. Yeah, where did all these Mariners fans come from? How did you get here? Seattle's so far away. Yeah. Will Carpenter adding another pitcher injury. Yeah, that's right. We don't love to see. I mean, Noah Davis was going to get sent back down after today anyway, but you don't want him injured. I'm a little concerned. It was a back of the shoulder thing. We're going to hear from him when we talk about game two a little later on in the show, but he kind of like describes what's going on. And I don't know if a back of the shoulder injury is necessarily better than all the elbow inflammation and Tommy Johns that we've been seeing lately across Major League Baseball. Oh, Nighthawk, I'm excited to hear your fan interference call take. Did he get escorted out after that? It looked like it from where I was. We were so busy trying to figure out what the call was going to be. I did not get a chance to steal binoculars from someone and look over and see what was going on in the outfield. So if I find out more, I'll tell you more. If there were witnesses, show yourselves. Show yourselves. But yeah, at least we still won. Will Carpenter in the Toyota chat. Please help my baseball team. They are very sick. It's the meme. We're a meme right now. Not in the way I enjoy being a meme. I'll tell you that. Trenton in the chat. Hello, Trenton. That fan interference call was one of the worst calls I've ever seen. Guy was exactly where he was supposed to be. The ball was going to get over the outfielder's glove if the fan wasn't there. That's the thing. Can we assume that just because the fan was there, that particular outfielder would have robbed that particular home run? You can't know that. And he didn't do it. So we can't assume maybe he would have. We can't assume that he would have made an out. So that's why I'm a little cranky about it, because I think it's crazy to call an out when an out wasn't made. Like, we're just inventing. This is fan fiction at this point. Literally fan fiction. I think it's weird. I thought it was a weird call. Thought it was a weird moment. But then again, every game at Coors Field, this is kind of why I love Rockies games, because every game has the potential to be the weirdest game you've ever seen. The Rockies just have the weirdest luck. Rockies might be cursed. Patrick Saunders, by the way, wrote an incredible article for the Denver Post. I think it came out this morning, or it could have been yesterday. Today feels like it's been 5 days. I'll just preface with that. Everyone was talking about the story, though, because talking about a DJ LeMahieu curse. Because it seems like maybe the Rockies could be a little cursed ever since DJ LeMahieu was the one that got away. I don't know. It's interesting. It is. Okay. Trenton also adding in the Toyota chat, I would be in a very different mood if we lost game one today. Hell yeah, I would literally be a villain. I would be a villain. Real fast, let's shout out our friends at Coors Light. Oh my gosh, I was such a Coors Light girly yesterday during the Nuggets game. Because you know why? Do you know why, Alyssa? The flip cup was with water. Because it was like outside of Ball Arena. I meant like after we lost. Yeah, that's right. We lost the Flip Cup competition. It was devastating. After we lost, literally the first thing I did was grab myself a Coors Light because I needed to chill. And I needed the beer that is made to chill because it's cold lagered, cold filtered. It doesn't know a life outside of being cold. So when it's time for a refresh or a reset, maybe after a tough baseball team loss or maybe a tough Flip Cup team loss. Coors Light's the beer I'm going to reach for. Listen, it's mountain cold refreshment, crisp and refreshing, just like the beautiful Colorado Rockies, the mountain range. So yeah, when it's time to chill, Coors Light is the beer I reach for. So when you want to hit reset, grab the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/DNVR. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Hello, Circa Sportsbook. We love Circa the Resort. But if you're not going to Vegas anytime soon, you can experience all the magic of their sportsbook in the Circa Sportsbook app. They got a cool thing going on. Tight money line splits, low hold model. Okay, so games will strive to be a -110 split on the Circa Sports menu, unlike any other sportsbook, which may use a -115, -120 splits. And a fun fact, Circa keeps as little money as possible on large market bets like futures or golf tournaments, etc., especially though compared to other sports books. Also, like, fun fact, Circa has customer service. Like, there are actually people that you can talk to behind the Circa Sports brand who will resolve issues in a timely fashion, unlike other sports books who might be using chatbots. But listen, get to betting. Download the Circa app today at circasports.com. Circa Sports bets can only be made while physically located in the state of Colorado. You must be 21 or older, all rights reserved. Circa Sports Colorado encourages you to gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER or visit problemgamblingcolorado.org. But yeah, go to circasports.com or search Circa Sports Colorado wherever you're downloading your apps. That's the key, because that's the one that you can use here in Colorado. Gamble responsibly and correctly. All right. Let's get back into it. Guys, as always, thank you to everyone who's in the Toyota chat. I wasn't sure how many people would be up this late on a school night, so I'm happy to see y'all here. Let's talk about Saturday's game real fast. Saturday's game, first pitch, 33 degrees. That sounds absolutely brutal. It was the sixth coldest home game in franchise history. So that's how you know it was a cold one. Rocks came up cold too, a 7-0 loss to the Mariners in the series opener. It was literally snowing, and the Rockies simply could not get a hit. Meanwhile, the Mariners got so many. Mariners had 7 runs on 16 hits versus the Rockies 0 runs on 3 hits. And also another sad moment. For me, at least, I was sad about this on Saturday. Victor Vodnik, his scoreless streak this season has come to an end. And I don't think he had a very good time. He came out for an inning in Saturday's game. 4 hits, 3 runs. He had a wild pitch that shot his ERA from 0 all the way up to 2.03. So, Victor Vodnik, he'll be okay. But he's not perfect anymore. He's come down to earth. Dakota Hudson, the starter, we saw 7 hits, 4 runs, all of them earned, 5 walks. That's a lot of walks. It's a lot of walks, my friend. Some transactions, though, that happened. Noah Davis came up. Noah Davis, the plan was to send him back down. The Rockies also announced, sorry, this is big news. I totally buried the lead here. But it's not surprise news, because we already knew that Daniel Bard had a season-ending injury. How do I do words, guys? Help me out. No, Daniel Bard on the 60-day IL with that right flexor tear. So officially on the 60-day IL. So Ty Block, our most faithful pitcher, is so back. But yeah, up from AAA. And so we'll see him around. Saw him walking around the clubhouse today. It's like, he's never left us. So yeah, let's get to the doubleheader, you guys. What a crazy day. First doubleheader of the season for the Rockies, by the way. Going into today, Rockies were 60 and 68 all time in doubleheaders. So I guess that means they're 61 and 69. Nice for doubleheaders all time. The Rockies actually have had a doubleheader against the Mariners before. It's been since 2001 that the Rockies have had a doubleheader against the Mariners. So last time they did it, they split the series. It happened here at Coors Field. History repeated itself. This is also very rare. It was rare. I was there. This is the third home game in Rockies history to get to extra innings in a scoreless tie. Someone forgot to turn the Coors on, is what happened. It was not a very Coorsy game. All right, everyone up in the Toyota chat. The fog over Colorado was just nutty. Was that fog yesterday or was that 420? I don't know. I'm not convinced. Thank you to everyone saying nice in the Toyota chat. My people, what's good? All right, let's really get into the game one of it all, okay? So the Rockies entered game one having lost six straight, walked away with a 2-1 victory in 10 innings. And Cal Quantrill, was this Cal Quantrill's flu game? Because he pitched a great six innings. And then we find out later he was extremely ill the entire time he was doing it. So, of course, we feel bad. Also, we did not want to talk to him after the game. I'm like, I do not want to catch what y'all have been catching because this thing, like, went around the clubhouse. We also don't know who has had it and who doesn't and who might be sick right now. We didn't know Cal Quantrill was sick going into this game. I feel like that's someone I'd want to avoid. I wish, like, I know, like, HIPAA exists and, like, medical privacy exists, but, like, I would love to know who's sick. Just so I can avoid people. I don't know. Anyway, Cal Quantrill, six innings, three hits, no runs. And let's see, five walks, four strikeouts. His third consecutive quality start. Quality starts, they are so back. And Cal Quantrill is bringing them back. But yeah, flu game. Or stomach bug. It's not the flu that they have. Everyone has this weird stomach bug. Anyway, we asked Buddy about it after game one. He got into the nitty gritty. He maybe gave us it was a little TMI, but Alyssa, are we ready to play that? Yeah. All right, here's what Buddy had to say about Cal Quantrill after his, what we're calling, his flu game.
Full disclosure, I have a little bit of the stomach virus that's been going around. Throwing up in between innings, battled, a gritty performance. Made some pitches when he needed to. They had some traffic a couple different times. He ended up holding them down. Pitched around some guys. There was a little bit of the walk in there, four walks, but only gave up the three hits. But I liked his stuff. I thought the fastball was crisp. I thought, it's his split and his change were good. Threw a couple good hard sliders. I mean, I thought he mixed pitches. He pitched outstanding. Kevin. He was great.
I'm so happy for Cal too that he had such a great start, that he's put together a few quality starts in a row, because he's coming off the worst season of his career before we got him from the Cleveland Guardians. I was asking the Guardians guys, okay, so Alyssa, I don't know if you've been to a game where Cal Quantrill has started. He walks out to All the Small Things. So, like, I asked the Cleveland guys, I'm like, has he always walked out to this? And apparently back in Cleveland, he was walking out to My Chemical Romance. So I'm wondering if he just likes that song or if he did his research.
I wonder.
He probably had to change it too. If he wasn't puking his brains out today, that's what I would have asked him. I was planning on asking him that after we talked about, like, his great pitching today. But he had to be yakking.
Yeah, right?
I'm trying to yap it up. He's yakking it up. What's going on? All right. What is going on? Brenton Doyle, there were a lot of woulda, coulda, shoulda home runs happening. Brenton Doyle had a huge hit that would have been a homer in 28 other ballparks, but just not in Coors Field or at Fenway. Fenway, what? Anyway, Brenton Doyle legged it out, made it a triple. It happened so fast. Like, we were all kind of shocked by just how fast he is. Even though we see it all the time, he was extra, extra speedy. He must have, maybe he had like an adrenaline rush from getting hit in the freaking ribs. But he literally, like, I looked over to see where the ball was going, blinked. Like, he was at first, the ball out in, you know, kind of like left center. All of a sudden, he's at third base. And everyone like could not believe how fast he got there. This is one of the things we love about Brenton Doyle. He is so fast. Like, he's just unbelievably fast. Like, you can't even keep up with it when you're at a game. So anyway, that was his first triple of the season and his sixth multi-hit game. I'm so happy for this dude. So happy for him. We saw a lot of, okay, it's a miracle anyone scored. This game was scoreless for so long. We had, I think, four consecutive innings of a runner on third who did not score. It was very frustrating. Very frustrating. But yeah, the Jacob Stallings home run that wasn't, looked like a homer, ended up as a double. Crew chief challenged the non-home run call. All of a sudden, it's nothing, and we're going to extra innings. But then Ryan McMahon comes in. Well, first Tovar comes in, gets a little hit going. Let's look at the scorecard, shall we? Yeah, Tovar hitting second in the first game. He was leadoff for the second game, but he got that single that set Ryan McMahon up to have a walk-off RBI single. That was Rymac's fifth career walk-off RBI, his fourth career walk-off hit. So, and only his second of the season. Ryan McMahon has hit a walk-off in two of the five wins. What's the percentage of that? Two out of five. Oh, man, do I have to pull out a calculator? This is so embarrassing. Hold on. I know. So that's 40% of wins this season have happened at the hands of a Ryan McMahon walk-off hit. Let's go. Let's go. All right. What else do we have going on? Yeah. Ezekiel Tovar, that was his eighth multi-hit game of the season, his third three-hit game of the season. So this guy has been cooking. He has been putting together some hits. Hits are great. We need more home runs. We need more home runs. I think I saw someone in the Toyota chat talking home runs. Skyler in the chat. I heard from the Locked on Rockies podcast. Big fan of the show, by the way. On Friday, the key to the series was us hitting home runs. The Mariners came in giving up a lot of homers, but they were the ones hitting them. Offense, wake up. That is the thing. Where are the bats? What is happening here? It's just like we keep seeing it every single game. We're just kind of, how do we fix it at this point? How do we fix it? Wappleganger, oh my gosh. Do you see this comment right now? Wappleganger in the Toyota chat. Cal giving a new meaning to hurler. Sir. Sorry, it's so good. It's so good. Trent in the chat, Doyle taking that fastball to the chest looked ugly. That is easily a bruised rib. Yeah, I mean, easily too, enough to keep him out of the next game because the plan was for him to pull a double, and he didn't. Let's see. What else do we want to talk about? Will in the chat. Sorry, I was just reading it before I read it out loud because sometimes I just like decide to read something out loud and I'm like, oh, I'm regretting everything. Will in the chat, still not as bad as what Bud said that one time Marquez pitched with an illness during the game. We won't talk about it. We won't talk about it. So happy to see y'all in the Toyota chat. Trenton, can we talk about the two pickoffs that the Rocks picked up late in game one? Yeah, let's talk about them. Let me look at them real fast. Oh, yeah. One of them was challenged, too. There was that one in the seventh inning, that pickoff. It was challenged, or Seattle challenged it. It stood. The call stood. The present tense was stands, and that's what I wrote on my little thing. Oh, yeah. Brendan Doyle also had a couple of stolen bases. He had a stolen base that ended up being rescored. But that's not what we're talking about. I'm looking for the other pickoff on my score sheet. Don't mind me. Just like doing some light reading in the middle of my live show. You know what? I'm just not placing the other pickoff right now. So, if you remember what inning it was, we can talk about it. I watched a lot of baseball, you guys. I watched a lot. Another thing about, so obviously like a very well played game, game one. We saw so many, there were three leadoff walks allowed by Rockies pitching. I started adding little ghosts on my scorecard because obviously look at me, iPad girly over here. I started adding little ghosts because in the press box, whenever there is a leadoff walk that a Rockies pitcher gave up, Thomas Harding and Patrick Saunders like do this thing in the, it's like a little bit that they do. It's like a little performance where they're like, woo, like, cause the walks come back to haunt. And a lot of those walks, well, actually, a lot of them did not come back to haunt because no one scored for a long time in game one. That was lucky. Also, huge credit to the defense in this game because there was a lot of traffic. But nothing scored until extras. Yeah, Trenton adding in the chat. Just great defense in the seventh inning. You know it. All right. Before we talk about game two, let's talk about game time. Who's getting last minute tickets to this Padres series coming up? I probably am because I got to take a game off at some point. I've not attended a game as a fan yet, and I'm high key dying too. High key. But yeah, game time is going to take the guesswork out of getting tickets because they make it so easy. You can open up your phone. You can see the selection. You can see the final price. You don't have to wonder what the fees are going to look like. You can toggle a little button. You can see actually what the price, including the fees, will be. And there you go. You can see your view from the seat, and they've got great, they've got flash deals. They've got last minute deals. You can save up to 60% when you're buying last minute, not just for baseball, but for other sports, for concerts, for comedy shows, for theater. Guys, we got that all going on in Denver too. So, but yeah, lowest price guarantee. If they don't give you the lowest price, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So why don't you take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use code DNVR for 20% off your first purchase. Terms do apply, but again, create an account, redeem with code DNVR, like the name of the show. Get that $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Guys, who is part of Raising Cane's fam? Because I sure as heck am. On your mark, get set, eat. You can make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable hand-battered chicken fingers, and they're always cooked to order and made just for you. So race in for delicious chicken finger meals served up fast. Order up those chicken tendies, those crispy crinkle-cut fries, and some buttery Texas toast. Oh my gosh, do not forget creamy coleslaw and Cane's secret sauce. Who doesn't love a secret sauce? I love the mystery. It just makes it even better. Find your local Raising Cane's location or order online. You can order mobily for cook to order hand battered chicken fingers. Race into Raising Cane's. Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster by ordering online at raisingcanes.com or through their mobile app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Yes. All right. Let's talk about, didn't love game two. Game two, all the fun from game one kind of started crashing down. Even before the game started, we mentioned Brendan Doyle, a very late scratch from game two. Jake Cave ended up playing center field. What else do we have going on? Noah Davis. This was such a strange thing because we couldn't really tell what was happening, but it seemed like, to us up in the press box, it seemed like when Noah Davis was a few pitches in, he was literally mid-batter, mid-leadoff batter, three pitches in, and Elias Diaz comes out to him, and we're like, okay, what is going on? All of a sudden, trainers are there. He's being walked off the field. So it was very strange. It was a very strange scene because you just don't normally see a guy three pitches into an inning coming out mid-batter. Something has to be pretty wrong for that to be happening. So anyway, we talked to Noah Davis after the game. He gave us the whole rundown of kind of what was going on out there. Alyssa, are we ready to play it? All right, here's Noah Davis right after game two of the doubleheader.
Yeah, just, you know, started feeling a little bit of tightness in the back of my shoulder. Kind of pretty localized. Doesn't feel like something that, at least right off the bat, feels huge. Just, you know, a discomfort, a pull. Made it hard to go out there and really throw it at full speed. So,
did it affect you in that one inning, the big inning for them against you?
No, I didn't feel anything then. It was first time I felt it was kind of in between innings, moving my shoulder around between that third and fourth inning. And gave it my best when I went out there in the fourth, and just didn't have much in the tank.
What did what schedule are you have, an MRI or anything? That's
I think we're going to get an MRI tomorrow.
What was it, the DSL that made him come out?
Probably the velocity. I looked up and saw it was 89 something after being closer to 93, 94 the last couple innings, so that, I'm sure that's probably what it was.
Have you ever had anything in the back of the shoulder before?
No.
Overall, outside of the injury, how did you feel getting back out there in kind of that long relief role? How did you feel today?
I felt pretty good, you know. Even the runs that were scored, I thought there were some good pitches in there. The 1-1 changeup to Rodriguez, he did a good job just flicking it into center field, but I basically did what I wanted to do. Got a ball in on Zavala that he got the barrel to, and then the Raleigh home run, just maybe a bad pitch selection on my part, and just left it a little fat over the plate, and he hammered it.
Thanks,
Noah. Thank you, Noah. Noah Davis, I hope they figure it out. I hope he's okay, because listen, we need our arms. He's a great kid. I hope we see him up here again. Get well soon, dude. Get well soon. Yeah, we got three innings out of him. He came in for a fourth inning. Wasn't out there very long. Didn't get an out, obviously. Didn't even finish an at-bat. But Noah Davis threw 46 pitches, okay? Allowed five hits, three runs. All of those earned. Zero walks. Two strikeouts. One home run, that Cal Raleigh home run. This has been his only appearance in the majors this season, so that's a 9 ERA for him. Did he have a wild pitch, too? No. Peter Lambert had the wild pitch. We're going to talk about Peter Lambert in a second. We got to talk about the starter. The starter who has been a long reliever all this season, who already has two wins under his belt. He couldn't get the win today, and things just kind of snowballed. We'll talk about it in just a second. But yeah, Noah Davis came out in that seventh inning. Jalen Beeks ended up coming in, finished the batter, got the strikeout for him. But all right. Yeah, that Cal Raleigh home run, plus that RBI single in the sixth. Yeah. Let's talk about the starter. We're going to talk about the starter because Peter Lambert, who has been so solid in long relief all season so far, had kind of a rough second inning. So I'm going to walk you through the second inning. Leadoff double from Ty France. Single, a sac fly that scored a run, made it 2-1. Then a hit by pitch, then another hit by pitch, and then an RBI single. And then a triple. Yeah, I know. And then an RBI triple. Three runs scored on that triple. It was a little too close to being like an inside the park home run. And then we saw another runner score on a wild pitch. And then also during that at-bat, gave up a single, then a strikeout. Finally, after batting around completely, the inning ended with a Ty France flyout. But yeah, totally batted around. That was a rough inning. We haven't seen anything like that from Peter Lambert, too, all season. He has not been like that this season. But yeah, the line on Peter Lambert, three innings pitched. He threw 66 pitches, 41 of them for strikes, but six hits, six runs, all of them earned, no walks, five strikeouts, no home runs, 5.52 ERA right now. But yeah, wild pitch and two hit by pitches. That is not a sign of control, to say the least. But yeah. Hey, Trent in the Toyota chat, I hope that Noah Davis is okay. Definitely the last thing we need is another pitcher getting hurt. Wappelganger in the Toyota chat. So tough for the Rocks. Man, better days ahead. Yeah. You know what? We're not done talking about Peter Lambert because we literally spoke to him after the game too because he was not throwing up during the game. So yeah, I'm going to talk to the starter then. It's just so weird not talking to the starter after a game. But in this case, I was like, anyway, Peter Lambert. I mean, obviously frustrated and kind of taken by surprise by the control that he was lacking in his three innings of work today. But also keep in mind, he hasn't been a starter all year. He's been a long reliever. So we were kind of curious as to what was the plan going in. How long was he supposed to be out there? But are we ready to play that from Peter Lambert? Yes. Here's our conversation with Peter Lambert right after game two.
Was there a plan in terms of how many innings or pitch count that you guys were aiming for today?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of tough in a situation, doubleheader. I think the plan was to just go out there and get as many outs as I could. I don't think... had the pitch count been 30 and I've been through three innings, maybe go another. I'm not really sure, but I know there was a maximum for sure.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you. All right. Some other notes from that game. Elias Diaz, 2-for-4 with a double and two RBI. He is 11-for-25 at home this season. His batting average, 318 right now. Not bad. Not bad. Sean Bouchard, another guy who just got up here. He has gotten a hit in each of his first three games of the season. So now that he's back, he's kind of taken that momentum that he had going on in Albuquerque, and he is getting some hits together. And Nolan Jones, I am so sad for Nolan Jones right now. Ever since that home run in Toronto, he has been hitless. He is 0-for-23 right now, dating back to April 13th in Toronto. Six games was the longest of his career. Yeah, this is a pretty frustrating time for Nolan Jones, that's for sure. That is for sure. All right. You know, we're going to circle back to the Jacob Stallings stuff in just a second. Now that we've all had some time to really think about it, but before we circle back to it, let's talk about our friends at Volo. Alyssa, are you doing the bowling league with our coworkers?
I haven't yet. I might do it next week.
Ooh. Yeah. Volo's so fun. Great way, by the way, to make friends and or just get your friends all together to do an activity. But modern day sport and social club, you can get Volo Pass for $20 a month. It's a great way to meet new people, get active, play games. They also have things like fitness classes, events. And I know if y'all like to have fun, I mean, those Volo people, they go out, they play games, they're in leagues, they're having fun. They all come back here and they have even more fun. Like, it gets so rowdy in here after Volo. I don't even know where, like, so many of them are coming from. Because there's just so many. There's so many leagues. There's so many different sports. Like, and the cool thing is, too, I mean, like, yeah, you can do this in Denver. You can also do this on the road. If you have Volo Pass, if you're traveling, you can get all of those Volo Pass perks in any Volo city. So here's the thing. You can sign up on the Volo app using code DNVR3. That's DNVR and the number 3 to get Volo Pass for just $10 a month for the first 3 months. That sounds super fun. Do we have any like fun events coming up? What do we have going on? We have like all the playoffs happening here at the bar. Duh. Guys, you could be watching all the games here at the DNVR bar. And if you're a diehard, you're going to get 15% off your entire bill as a DNVR diehard member. And also, if you want to get our awesome t-shirts, because honestly, D-Line's pumping out Nuggets t-shirts like it's nothing. He just has so much creativity in him. But you can get 20% off all of our merch, too. And you'll get a free shirt when you sign up. So if you haven't signed up yet, what a great time to do it now with two Denver teams in the playoffs right now. But yeah, go to thednvr.com to sign up, to be a diehard. All right. Let's bring it back to Jacob Stallings, the home run that really wasn't. We asked Buddy about it, obviously. Well, first we said, well, what did you think of it? Anyway, should we just play? We're just going to play what he had to say, right? Yes. All right. Here's what Buddy had to say about that Jacob Stallings situation in game one of the doubleheader.
You know, we were how far away from the dugout, 400 feet. I couldn't tell. You know, the players who have better eyesight than me with that distance. It looked like it looked on replay, right? It looked like it, well, it obviously went over the wall. But in the rule, you know, in the judgment of the umpiring crew in New York, they thought that Moore might have had a chance to catch it.
Buddy is so diplomatic. He's like, if that's what they saw in New York, then that's what they saw. I don't know. Those New Yorkers, man. Those New Yorkers. Ugh. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, hey, some Rockies adjacent news. Some stuff happening down in Albuquerque. Remember Walker Buehler of the Dodgers? He's scheduled for a rehab assignment, and he'll be pitching in Albuquerque, scheduled to pitch in Albuquerque this Wednesday. So if y'all are part of the New Mexico fam here on the show, you know, that could be fun to check out. Maybe, you know, all of our Rockies prospects will just light him up and hit like 17 home runs off of him. Because if there's one place that's weirder than Coors Field, it's Isotopes Park. In the best way possible. In the best way possible. All right. We're going to close out the show because it is super late. Guys, I need to be in bed. I drank a Celsius at 3:00. I'm never going to bed, unfortunately. But you guys need to. The schedule for next week, we're going to do a pregame show on Tuesday. So that'll be 6:00. That'll be 6:00, right before the game. We'll do a little pregame situation live right here. We'll have all the latest gossip and news and all that right from the ballpark, too. So that'll be really fun. Are we going to wrap the Padres series on Friday? Are we doing a Friday late night baseball or like happy hour baseball? Is that what we decided, Alyssa? I don't know if we decided that. I think maybe we should do that. Because it sounds like, Thursday, y'all are on location.
Yeah,
right.
Well,
many of us will be on location. Is that the draft show?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah. How could we possibly compete with football at a time like this? I don't know. Post-series wrap, it's going to be Friday. We're going to do a pregame show in the middle of the Padres series just to keep it fresh. And then, of course, a week from today, we're going to be talking about the Mexico series.
I can't believe that's already.
It's so soon. The Rockies, after the Mexico series, they will have played in 3 countries this month. Honestly, 3 countries in 2 weeks. It's a lot. It's a lot. They need to get better from the stomach thing. They need to get better. Yes, Trent adding in the Toyota chat. Last game for the Padres is Thursday. It's a day off on Friday. Mexico is over the weekend. Yeah, I think we're going to, what I'm saying is, I think we're going to wrap up the Padres series and gear up for the Mexico series on Friday with a little happy hour situation. It'll be easier for everyone, I think. Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks, everyone, for chatting it up in the Toyota chat. I, as always, love talking to you guys. Love talking ball. Love talking ball with Alyssa. Alyssa, where can we follow you on social media? @Avery21. Yes. Guys, you can follow me at @TheSusieHunter on all platforms. And make sure you're following DNVR_Rockies for all the latest Rockies news. We will keep you covered. We'll keep you covered. That's just, like, what we're going to do. And Alyssa, you know what I love to say about closing out a show like this? You know what I love to say.
That's baseball.
That is baseball. That's the show. We'll talk to you guys Tuesday pregame. But hey, enjoy the rest of this little bit of weekend we have left. Have a good night.
We all silly like the mayor.